Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
Happy Saturday, and thank you so much for joining me. I truly appreciate it. We want to talk about mortgages and real estate in Indiana and what's going on. One of the things that is a question I get obviously quite often is, you know, what are the lending limits? And when we talk lending limits, we're talking about really conventional VA, FHA. Those are your major lending platforms. That's who we're generally going to go to. And on a conventional mortgage in Indiana, it's by area, by county, but pretty much every county in Indiana, I believe, is at the limit for the loan amount is $548,250. So $548,250. Now, of course, your price, your value is higher than that, or your purchase price if you're buying a home, but anything above that on the loan amount would put the loan into a jumbo category. So jumbos start at that $548,251 is where they would start. VA has the same limit as a conventional mortgage. But again, there's still flexibility, or not really flexibility in the dollar amount, but there's requirements and rules around all that. Now, FHA's limit is lower. It's $379,500 in most of the counties that we're in. So most likely that's what it is in your area. But if you're near that, you're wanting an FHA loan, or you need an FHA loan, we'd want to talk about the county, look it up, make sure that that's what it is. But pretty much everybody is that. So again, FHA, $379,500. So it's really important to know what those limits are, especially when if you're out looking at homes. A lot of people are looking to purchase right now, and you need to know what those limits are. They go up every year, and we normally find out late November, early December, what they're going to be for the next year. And as prices go up, and we've had some pretty decent appreciation, so last year the conventional was $510,000. I can't remember the dollar. I think it was $510,250, but I may be a little off. And so it went up $38,000 from 2020 to 2021. And we would expect it to go up quite a bit for 2022 when we get to that point. It is only May, but it seems like it's going by awful fast. It's probably not that far off that we're going to be, you know, already into looking at 2022. But those are the lending limits. So if you have any questions on lending limits, you know, and need to, you know, talk about it, you want to know what it is for sure, where you are, just you know, contact me. You can contact me at 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600, or hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Now, today I want to talk most about a mortgage that there are a tremendous amount of people right now. It's kind of the biggest market share that we see. Mortgage rates, contrary to what you may have heard, mortgage rates are still near record lows. They are still extremely low. And so there are a lot of people, because they did tick up a little bit, some people's a little more than others, but our rates really have not hardly gone up at all. They went up, they came back down, and they changed. They can change on a daily basis, they can change on an hourly basis, just depends on what the mortgage-backed security bond market does. But all in all, as we talk right now, rates are extremely low. So one of the great options that people are looking at and wanting to do right now is what we call our debt crusher mortgage. It's a debt consolidation mortgage. And here's some of the reasons why this is such a great opportunity right now to do this type of mortgage. Home equity is at an all-time high with over $22 trillion in home equity in the U.S. So there's $22 trillion of equity in homes in the U.S. And that's at an all-time high. It's probably actually higher than that because of the appreciation rate, but that's the newest number I could find. And so you have, there's tremendous amount of equity. So in our appreciation here in Indiana has been in the double digits, which is unheard of in Indiana. So the equity in the houses has really kicked up. While that's been going on, credit card debt is at an all-time high also at $756 billion. So $756 billion in credit card debt. Now, credit card debt, the average, you know, these are some things I looked up. This is from WalletHub.com. So it says, while 2020 was a year to forget in most respects, Americans excelled in terms of paying off credit and credit card debt, getting rid of a record $82.9 billion in debt. This is a major accomplishment considering that consumers have added an average of $54.2 billion in credit card debt per year over the past 10 years. The country's credit card debt problem is far from solved, however. We still collectively owe nearly $1 trillion. And of course, they have a little different number than what I was talking, but $1 trillion to credit card companies, $1 trillion. And the average household balance remains too high at $8,089. Both figures are also likely to raise as the economy reopens from the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, Wallet Hub's early projections for credit card debt in mid-2021 through 2022, they think will add approximately $50 billion to our total balances for credit card debt. The average credit card interest rate is 17.87% for new accounts. So somebody opening a new credit card, according to Wallet Hub, the average interest rate is 14.87%. And for existing credit cards, the average interest rate is 14.58%. This is why refinancing and paying off debt can make a tremendous amount of sense. If you've got, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, $100,000 in credit card debt and you're paying, you know, 14%, 15%, and you can get in the low single numbers on a refinance, then it can be extremely advantageous. Even if the interest rate that you receive on the refinance for the cash out or for the debt consolidation on what we call the debt crusher mortgage, even if that interest rate happened to be higher, most likely it's not going to, but even if it was higher, many times it still makes a tremendous amount of sense to refinance that debt into the mortgage and make it all one payment. Now, a lot of people, one of the things that they will kind of, you know, have trouble with, and this is on any refinance really, is that some people feel like they're starting over on their mortgage when they refinance. So we need to look at that when we're doing it, but it depends on how you do it. So let's say you're on a 30-year mortgage and you've paid on it for 3 years, so you're down to 27 years. If you refinance to a 30-year and you make payments as a 30-year mortgage, then you did kind of restart. Now, if you only had that mortgage for 3, 4, 5 years, you have to question whether that matters or not, but it may to you. One way to eliminate that is to pay a little extra and keep it on that 27-year term. Then you didn't lose any time. Because when somebody says, you know, starting over, it's really time they're talking about. The clock is going to start ticking again. But let's say you're on a 15-year mortgage. And you'd paid 3 years on that 30-year. You're at 27 years. If you go to a shorter term than 27 years, a 25, a 20, a 15-year, you're not starting over with time. You're actually shortening the time. You're making it take less time to pay off your loan. So that's why it's not always a reset. Where you're resetting it and going back to the full term. So when we look at a debt consolidation loan, we want to look at how we can make that so that you have options to pay it off early. And we're going to talk more about that debt consolidation and how you can use the savings to actually pay your loan off in a much, much quicker time. Hope you're back after the break.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining me. I truly appreciate it. We were talking about debt consolidation, our debt crusher mortgage, and how you can take that mortgage, take the savings, and you can actually improve your situation. So you're not losing the time that you've already paid on your mortgage. And that can be extremely important to be able to do that. And I want to give some examples. I put together a couple examples that I thought we could talk about. We'll talk about the first one here real quick. These are just true examples of people I've talked to recently, and we've been able to really help them out with their debt management. You know, one of the nice things about a home. Or negative things about a home are nice. It is going to be the largest debt that most people ever have, and we need to manage that debt. And if we can manage all the debt, especially if we can manage it all by taking it and putting it into the mortgage, that could be hugely beneficial to people. And you have to look at that. You know, I'm not saying that it's right for everybody, because there is nothing that's right for everybody, but it certainly has been life-changing for many of the people that I've worked with. And I'd almost say all of the people that I've done a debt consolidation or debt crusher mortgage for, because it frees them up and takes the stress off. And, you know, stress, as we've learned on other shows with when I've had medical professionals here, that stress is one of the, you know, one of those issues that actually, you know, shortens our lifespan, our expected lifespan. So if we can eliminate debt, it can be extremely beneficial, not just financially, but it can be beneficial physically, in your lifespan and all of that. So it's one of those things that's really, truly can be life-changing. So here's somebody, and this person happened to have a value of $440,000. They had their first mortgage loan amount, their balance was $262,000. So they owed $262,000 on a home that they had a value of $440,000. Now, on a debt consolidation or debt crusher mortgage, we can go to an 80% loan to value cash out. So taking the cash out to pay off the debt, we can go to an 80% loan to value. And in this case, this person didn't have a tremendous amount of debt, okay? But they did have a credit card that they owed $22,000 on, and they also wanted a little bit of extra cash out. But they owed $22,000 on a credit card, and their payment on that credit card, it was $525. So you take those numbers. They're paying $525 on their credit card. They're making their mortgage payment. They're at $262,000 on their balance. So we took the $22,000. We added in some additional cash out. We ended up with a loan amount of approximately $290,000. And by doing that and refinancing this on a 30-year fixed, now they did drop interest rate. Their interest rate originally was we dropped an eighth. So all we did is drop an eighth in the rate. That's it. So we dropped a tiny bit in interest rate. But by refinancing, we were able to save them $669 per month. If you take their first mortgage and their payment on their credit card, even with the additional cash out of about $4,000, almost $5,000, we still saved them $669. Now, they went onto a 30-year fixed, and they had paid on their home for some time. So, you know, we did add a little bit of term back. But this was a life-changing number for them. So you take that $669, and in my report, one of the benefits that things I put together, items I think is very beneficial for my clients, is when we do this, we put together a very extensive report that shows what these numbers mean and how they're going to affect you. Well, in this case, they were already down to 21 years and 5 months. So they were going to add just under 9 years to the term of their mortgage. If they took that same amount of money that they were saving, that $669 a month that they were saving, and they added that to the new mortgage, even though they only went down an eighth of a percent in interest rate because their credit card rate was so high, and they took that $669 and they made the payment, they made that extra payment every year or every month, they would shorten their term from the 21 years, 5 months that they have currently down to 16. So they would be in 16 years paying the same amount of money. They'd have their debt would have been paid off, and their mortgage would be paid off in 16 years. They would be, if they didn't add any debt, would be debt free, or at least free of their mortgage and their credit cards. So that's one option somebody can do. We show that because we really want people to understand the value. Now, what does that do for somebody? The amortization that they gained over the first 5 years was $29,275. Over the first 10 years, they gained over $64,000. And over the 16 years, they gained $114,304 and increased their net worth by $90,304. This is life-changing for some people, or can be. There's options on how you go about doing it. You don't have to, even though you add term, it doesn't mean you have to reset everything. You can make a payment based on, you know, paying it off at the same rate or earlier. And we can run those numbers. And actually, in the program, in the report that I send, it's a computer-based, internet-based form, you can actually change those numbers and you can see what that does. So to me, it's one of those things that can be, and I believe is very, very beneficial. I want to talk about another one of these debt consolidations, but before we do that...
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
I was talking with Jim and Karen the other day, and they wanted to know, you know, if, because they wanted to buy a house, but they really wanted to sell their home first, and they wanted to know how that works. And I think in this market, it's something that we really, really need to talk about. If you have a home to sell and you need to sell it for the down payment, that's one thing a lot of people forget, is when they tell me they don't want to sell their home first. They want to buy a home and then sell their home. And then I'll ask, so if you don't sell your home, where does your down payment come from? That's something they always have to think about, because they have to figure out, okay, now where is my down payment going to come from? So because when we're looking at what is the down payment when you buy the house, not once you sell your home. If you don't sell your home first and then you're bringing over $25,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, it's what are you, when you buy it and close on it, what is your down payment? And you have to have that money available. And so, you know, some people will get gifts. Some people will borrow it from their 401k, you know, their retirement account, and that's perfectly acceptable. Others just have it in savings. You know, it just depends. Some people have it at home equity line in their home, and they have equity in that, and they can use that for down payment. All those are very acceptable options. You just need to think about where it's going to come from if you aren't going to sell your home first. Now in this case, Jim and Karen wanted to sell their home first, and that can be very helpful. In this market, though, you really need to talk to your real estate agent about that, because it is our market. Homes are moving off the, you know, they are moving so very quickly that it's really hard to get an offer accepted if you're contingent on your home selling. So the very first things we'd want to do is in this market is try to see if there's a way for you to be able to buy a home without selling your home. Maybe only put 5% down, or maybe do an FHA at 3.5% down, or something, some way of making it work where you're able to not sell your home first. You can buy the home before you sell it, then sell your home. And many times, especially if you can find a home that you can get maybe a little bit more time on, so you make an offer, maybe they have a house that they want to buy, but they can't get in it for 60 days. You're not going to close for 60 days. It gives you a little bit of time to sell your house and close on your house before you close on the new one. So there are ways to hopefully work that out. But if there is no way, you don't have the down payment, there's no way to work it out, then what we do is we run through it. We estimate what you're going to sell your home for. Your real estate agent usually comes up with that. We come up with your equity, and we do a pre-approval based off you selling your home. The pre-approval then is contingent on the home being sold. In most markets, that's not that big a deal. In this market, it can make it very difficult to be able to get an offer accepted, because there are, you know, the average, I think I saw the average home on the market receives like 4.93 offers. So you're in competition, and that is a contingency that a lot of sellers don't really want. If you have to sell the home, it's a contingency. Then you have to get a mortgage, that's another contingency. So if you have somebody who comes in, they're willing to pay cash, and you have all these contingencies, they're likely to take the cash offer. If you're non-contingent, you have to get a mortgage. It puts you in a lot better position. Now, it may not be the cash offer, but not everybody gets cash offers on their houses. Not everybody can pay cash. So it does put you in a much better position. And it also gives you, yes, it makes it a little difficult, and you might have to pay a little bit more. But if you can go non-contingent and you can pay a little more than maybe a cash offer, that can help you beat out a cash offer and win that bid for the home that you want. It's, again, these are things you really need to talk with your realtor. They're the ones who are going, that are the experts, and they will actually walk you through it. If you don't have a realtor and you want to, you would like one, contact me. I have great agents I work with. You can call me at 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600. Or you can go online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And from there, you can email me, call me, text me, whatever works for you. But you can call me. It's not a text number. You can call me at the 317-215-7600. Well, let's get back to the debt consolidation. I want to go over one other option, or one that I put together with somebody. The first one I did was kind of a low-end savings, really. Most people are saving that or more, not always. This house happened to be a little more expensive, and they didn't owe percentage-wise that much on the home. In this case, their existing home was worth just under $610,000, and they owed on their mortgage $370,000. So we have a 610 with 610 value with a 370 loan amount on their current mortgage. Now, they had in debts, they had $59,000 in credit card debt. And I think there was also a car in there. So credit card and a car. So they wanted to put a car in their credit cards. And it was, again, $59,000. And in this case, their rate, this is one of the reasons I pulled this one, their rate went up because they actually were willing to do that, because you'll hear why. Their rate went up a full percent. So their rate went up from where they were. But, okay, they added this $59,000, which was payments of $2,483. And then actually one of them they took out. This was different on that. So their actual payments on that amount of money was $1,933. I'm sorry, $1,833. The lights are dark. It's dark in here and I can't see. $1,833 was their payments on the credit card debt and the car payment. So we took that, we put that all into one loan. Their rate went up 1 full percent. They did a 30-year fixed, and they lowered their monthly payment total. Their total monthly payment savings by doing this, when you take their first mortgage, with their taxes and insurance and their revolving debt, their savings was $1,465 per month is what they saved. So $1,465 is just a huge amount of savings. And for this person, it was extremely important. Their life had changed. They needed and wanted to stay in the home. They needed the savings to be able to stay and live at the lifestyle they wanted to. And this allowed them to do that. So what we did is we refinanced the loan. We did raise their interest rate. It went up, but we lowered their payment. And we lowered their payment, as I said, by $1,465. So what does that do? If they took, you know, we talked about if they took the $1,465 and they applied it to the mortgage. So currently, under their first mortgage, they had 26 years and 7 months remaining on their first mortgage. Under the proposed scenario, or the scenario that they did, if they took the $1,465 in savings, now I don't think they aren't going to unless something changes, but if they did take that money and they use that to pay the loan down. So if their objective had been, let's pay this house off and let's pay our debt off, they would have paid the house off in 13 years and 3 months. That saves them just over half the time they had to make the payments, which is 13 years and 4 months is what they saved. Because remember, they were at 26 years and 7 months. This is very, very significant for somebody. And this is this was life-changing for this couple. Not only that, but over the first 5 years in amortization, they saved over $88,000. In 10 years, over $198,000. And in the full 13 years and 3 months, if they pay off the loan early and they use that $1,465 to apply it towards their principal every month, they would have, their amortization gain would have been $280,000, just over, and their increase in their net worth. Now, so think about this. So let's say you're ready to retire, and the increase in your net worth when you retire is $218,986. This is very, very significant to somebody. And if you're in the position, it can be whether you're retiring or, you know, maybe you have kids going to college, maybe you just need more, you need to either free up the money or you want to come up with a way to pay your loan off, your mortgage off sooner and get rid of your debt so that you can do that. This is something that you can really benefit from and can be very, very helpful. It may not be the right thing for you, but what we should do is talk about it and see if it is, because it's not right for everybody, but there's no mortgage that's right for everybody, but certainly something worth looking at as one of the options if you're in the debt situation. It can make a huge difference. The other benefit is that once you pay off all that debt, that your credit score is going to come up. And so after your credit score comes up, if rates stay low, we can refinance again, lower the interest rate even more, and save even more money. So there are ways to make it, you know, even more beneficial. And in this case, that was kind of the plan. We just had to get the credit scores up so that we could and take the time to get that debt paid off. So that was really helpful to them. And I think if you're in that situation, if you have debt, it can be car payments, it can be student loans, it can be hospital bills, credit cards, you know, whatever it is that you have that's hanging over your head, that could be, you know, it's creating stress in your life. In fact, the number one reason for divorce is debt. It's money issues. And this is a way to really take some of that stress and those issues off somebody and improve their lives. So if you're in that situation, I highly recommend that you know, give me a call. We'll talk about it and we'll, you know, see what options there are. Again, just call me at 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600, or go online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. I appreciate you joining me today. Have a great weekend.